You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 4, The Leaky Cauldron. We have on a special guest, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. We are back for another week of the Quidditch Cup, everyone's favorite segment where we quiz each other for the eventual awarding of a Quidditch Cup. I spent my entire week with Carly holding up flashcards from various points in the Prisoner of Azkaban, and it is paying off. My regimen is good.
I respect that. I Rocky style ran up, except I'm not in Philadelphia, but I ran up the Lincoln Memorial and just high-fived Lincoln and, just ran back down, just thinking about Harry Potter the whole time.
I just yelled at Josh a lot.
That works too.
Not because of this.
Okay. Normal life.
I go first this week.
Okay.
You ready? Name two monsters that Lupin, not Snape, covers in his defense against the class.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The question wasn't up.
I know. I was so excited. Okay. Sorry. Vijaya.
You can go. That's fine.
Are you sure? No, I feel like I need to defer to you now because I got so excited about it because I knew the answer.
Your face is red.
That's because I feel so bad. I got too excited.
I was almost done saying the question, but I was definitely not.
Okay. Sorry. Vijaya.
Go ahead, Sarah. Go you ahead, are on. You are
say,
on. You're in.
I was going to say
yellow card.
Kappas and red caps.
What was it?
Kappas and red caps.
Those are, in fact, two monsters that they
covers. Sorry. I feel like I'm breaking all the rules.
I would have said Grindylows and red caps. So we got red caps.
I'm breaking common. All. Can I award? Can I split up a point and give? I feel bad now.
Since I got just mercilessly punished for beeping in last season.
You didn't get punished.
But I unbeeped in. You finished the question, then I beeped in, and then she got right mad at me.
Yeah.
So do we let the other person do it if they beep in early? Do we take away points? What do we do?
Or do we just? I feel like Sarah's done it twice now.
I feel like. Well, I was just saying. I feel like I can. Can I give Vijaya half a point? Or I can sacrifice my point. That's fine.
No, just
well, we hadn't covered it yet, so I think we gotta stick with what we got so far.
Maybe okay. If she beeps in early and answers it. I don't know.
No, if you beep in early from now on, I should just not. I feel like you should.
The other person gets to answer.
Okay. Yeah, they get to answer first. Yeah, that was unfair to me. So I agree.
Okay.
Oh, what a sweet girl.
No, I just feel bad. I got too excited.
In week four, we'll see what happens in week 22.
I got too excited.
Gotta control your emotions, Sarah.
Her face got so red. That's hilarious.
I know, because okay, I realized that I did a bad thing. Whose turn is it? My turn?
Are you ready?
No, Vijaya. Okay, ready, go.
What is the name of the course book for divination?
Ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes?
Unfogging the Future.
Yes. Was this one of your questions?
Nope.
All right, Sarah, it's your turn.
Okay, you ready?
Give me a question only I can answer so Michael doesn't get another point.
What lesson does Hermione mysteriously miss following the sentencing of Buckbeak? What charms lesson does Hermione mysteriously miss following the sentencing of death of Buckbeak? She misses a class and she misses a lesson.
Charms lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Ding.
Michael?
I have no idea.
Cheering charms.
That is correct.
Come on, guys.
I did not know that answer.
All right, that's another
week. God damn it!
The Quidditch Cup. Michael with 7, Sarah with 3 and Vijaya with 2.
How do you have 7? Are you counting this right? I feel like I need a charity.
I've gotten 2. I've gotten 2 in every one but week 2.
As I pour more wine into my glass.
I was going to say, I wish our chat audience I feel like our chat audience can see that Vijaya is pouring more from her wine bottle. I have a box of wine like a classy person. That's what you do. Michael, are you part of the wine club or whatever?
I have a bottle of Club W / D&D wine. ClubW.com. Actually, it's trywink.com/D&D. Go and buy some today.
Drown your sorrows into wine, then drown your sorrow from Michael winning. Chapter 4, The Leaky Cauldron. It's so leaky. So Harry is having a great time in Diagon Alley by himself. He can get up when he wants, eat what he wants, go where he wants, but, you know.
Home Alone 2 style.
He just cannot leave Diagon Alley. So, like, he eats breakfast at the Leaky Cauldron, then spends the afternoons exploring the shops. And he's even getting help doing his homework, which he's doing outside and not under covers.
That's gonna be nice.
He's enjoying free ice cream every half an hour. I think that's a lot of ice cream.
That's too much
every
ice cream.
Every half hour? That is just asking for some. Like, at that age, you were just putting on the pounds, man. That is Chub City right there. But not that there's anything wrong with that, but that is the age.
But that's also a lot of cavities, so maybe hopefully he brushes really well. Maybe there's like magical toothpaste brush thing. I don't know.
Hopefully it's magical anyway. Diabetes medication.
Yeah, Reparis Dentalis.
He's getting free ice cream from Florian Fortescue, who's the one that's helping him with his homework because he knows a lot about like wizarding his history. Hmm. So he's got more money out from Gringotts, and he is practicing self-control so he, you know, so as not to spend all of his money on trivial things like solid gold gobstones.
What?
But the one, I know.
Did he buy a grill? Harry, chill.
But the one thing that actually tests his, his control is the fucking firebolt.
Oh my god.
What is the firebolt, Vijaya?
Only the best broomstick all around.
What happened to the, what about the Nimbus 2001?
That's like such old news.
Yeah,
Sarah,
that's book
please
2.
Please keep up with the broomstick.
Dang, these
technology.
Kids these days with the Kanye and the brooms.
I would have just bought the broom. I was very dumb.
The Irish Quidditch team, the Irish Quidditch team has already put in an order of Firebolts, you know, that's the national Quidditch team.
Mm.
But Harry's like, well, my Nimbus 2000's been pretty loyal, it's fared me pretty well, so I won't buy it. But he goes back every day to look at the Firebolt like a fucking creep. Just checking that fireball out.
Just drooling.
Yeah. So Harry's gathering up like all the stuff that he needs for school, like getting robes and more ink and quills. And he notices for the first time that his book list includes the Monster Book of Monsters.
What?
And then Harry puts 2 and 2 together.
I was like,
nope.
No, he doesn't.
He does not.
Nope.
We should have how many times does Harry does not put 2 and 2 together, and we will run out of all the space.
Oh, Harry, you are so sweet, but so simple.
He goes to Flourish and Bot. Well, literally, he's like, oh, the Monster Book of Monsters. Hagrid sent me this book. He must have known that it was on my book list. Shrug, goes into Flourish and Blots, and the manager's like, oh God, you need that book. And he's like, no, I already have a copy. And he's like, thank God, I've already gotten bitten so many times.
Oh, that stinks.
So he does tell him, the manager, that he needs a divination book, and while he's waiting, Harry notices a book about death omens.
What?
And the creature on the cover is a big black doge.
Dun, dun, dun.
My sounded more Price is Right. I was like, bah, 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 bah. Sorry, continue.
And the dog, which is like as big as a bear, looks oddly familiar to him. He's like, I don't know where I've seen that before. See that guy so before. Weird.
Big black and dog. Probably Martha's Vineyard. It's fine.
Yeah. Back in his room, he's like, no, that death omen I saw, I did not see that death omen the night I left Privet Drive. That wasn't it. No, that wasn't a death omen.
I've never had a brush with death like five times before. Yeah,
the mirror in his room talks back to him. He's like, yeah, whatever. So a couple of days pass and Harry starts running into his classmates. He sees Dean, Seamus, and Neville, and sees that Neville's grandmother's like a real tough lady, so he's like, hopefully she won't know that I tried to try to act like I was Neville when I was on the run. So he starts keeping an eye out for Ron and Hermione, finally runs into them on their last day of holidays. Harry and Hermione are both like so surprised that Harry got off so easily for blowing up his aunt, and Ron is like, dude, you're Harry Potter. You get away with shit all the time. Why are you surprised? Which Ron is correct.
Fair enough.
Harry's like, dude, I tried to get expelled. I just brought it up like 50 times.
Every single rule I've broken so far, and so got to stay. Ron has a brand new wand, and Hermione is taking a buttload of new classes. So many more than Harry and Ron. But when they try to ask her or like make fun of her, she just changes the conversation. So Hermione has some extra money from her parents, for her birthday, and she really wants an owl because it's handy. And Ron needs scabbers checked over because he hasn't been doing well since Egypt.
Maybe he ate, like, I know that you have to, like, get, you know, if you're not used to that cuisine or, like, the water, you could get
sort of
like, Giardia. You have to, like, be really careful. I think it's Africa, so you have to take malaria pills. Maybe he didn't take rat malaria pills.
I mean, I doubt they, like, planned it all out for the rat. So, yeah, it could be anything. Yeah. So they all go to go into the magical menagerie to get both of what they want. The witch of the counter's like, scabbers. He's in a real poor state because he has a tattered left ear and a front paw that is missing a toe.
Why are you enunciating that?
I just
so much?
Like to enunciate.
She feels bad about, even against rats, she doesn't like animals that are sad and harmed.
So she suggests getting a new rat. And Ron's like, no, thank you. So
wait, how weird is that? She's like, your rat is missing a toe. Get a new freaking rat. That's kind of rude.
Well, she's like, she asks him what his magical powers are. And Ron's like, nothing. And she's like, well, these, you know, regular variety of rats aren't supposed to live that long. So it's probably going to die soon. So why don't you get one of the magical rats that last longer and it's better? And Ron's like, no, I don't want a replacement. So she gives them a rat tonic instead. And right when Ron is about to buy it, a huge orange cat lands on his head and tries to get at Scabbers.
Jesus Christmas.
I know. So they eventually catch Scabbers. And when they're like, oh, where's Hermione? And they're like, oh, she's probably getting an owl. But out comes Hermione with Crookshanks, the cat that jumped on Ron.
I love that. Good for you, girl. Get it?
And I feel like that's pretty fucking rude, actually.
Get it? I'm like, this kid was a jerk to me and still is kind of a jerk to me. I'm going to get this cat that's kind of a jerk to him.
Yeah, and then so here starts the war of Hermione and Ron of book 3. So they find Mr. Weasley reading a Daily Prophet that has a picture of Sirius Black on it, and Harry's like, oh, have they caught him yet? Harry, if they had been, he had been caught, I'm pretty sure you would have heard it.
Yeah, okay? Like, why does he keep asking people?
Put two and two together. So Ron is really interested. He's like, oh, are we gonna get that reward money if we catch black, and Arthur's like, don't be dumb, don't go looking for him. If anything, the Dementors will catch him. No worries. So they all have dinner there that night and learn that the Ministry's lending them cards to shuttle them to King's Cross the next day. Percy's like, oh, why are they doing that? And Arthur's like, well, I mean, I work for the Ministry. They're doing me a favor.
Even though he got, like, indicted by them last year.
Yeah, but Harry doesn't quite believe him. After dinner, Harry's going to get Scabbers rat tonic that Ron forgot. And Harry overhears Molly and Arthur talking in their bedroom through the crack in their door.
Harry, don't do that, creeper.
Nosy posy. So they're talking about Black, and
they have like eight kids, seven kids. Don't.
Just let them have their private time, Harry. So Arthur's telling Molly that he thinks that Harry should be told the truth about Black, but Molly's afraid that it would terrify him. Apparently, they both think that he would have died the Night's bus picked him up. If the Knight's bus hadn't stopped
but
for him.
Knight's butt.
But. Knight's butt. And also, Sirius Black is after Harry.
What?
Yeah.
How could apparently, that be?
During his final days at Azkaban before he broke out, which was impossible.
We've heard, yes.
Or should have been. He kept saying, he's at Hogwarts. He's at Hogwarts. And of course, it has to be Harry, because, you know, Black was Voldemort's right-hand man, and Arthur thinks that Black thinks killing Harry will bring Voldemort back, which is a lengthy thought, but whatever.
It's a logical leap. It's fine.
So Dumbledore has consented to having the Dementors stationed at Hogwarts. Dementors are the Azkaban guards, by the way.
Oh, do we learn that this chapter?
Yeah.
Nice.
Even Arthur is not very fond of Dementors. So Harry has a lot. So Harry goes, finds the rat tonic, and then goes to his room. And he's like, that's a lot to think about, right? For right before the start of a new year for a 13-year-old. Like a crazy convict on the loose from a wizard prison wants to kill him so he can bring back Voldemort. And that's why Fudge has been so forgiving, because he's worried that Black will get him. But get this. The only thing that bothers Harry the most is that the likelihood of him visiting Hogsmeade was now at zero.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? It is kind of a bummer.
He's had people trying to kill him his whole life.
Yeah,
though,
he's like, I can't do anything about that. You know what would be great? Going to Birdie Bots and getting some...
Going to Zonko's.
Zonko's, thank you. And getting some Birdie Bots. That is what I meant.
Fucking teenagers, am I right?
Tell me about it.
Oh, no. So, new things is Dementors are prisoners... Are prisoners? Prison guards.
They're the prisoners of Azkaban? We solved it. Solved the mystery, guys.
They are shaped like humans, covered in dark hooded cloaks. Their skin resembles that of a gray rotting body.
Gross.
Magical abilities. Though they are blind, they can sense and feed on positive feelings, draining their victims of happiness. And typical habitat is Azkaban, the wizard prison.
This seems like a weird habitat, quote unquote. Like, what were they?
That's just where
isn't
they
that their
them.
Origin? Like, we are born of prison. We reek of prison.
So, another new thing. That was all from Pottermore, obviously. Death Omens was new. The fact that Scabbers is missing a toe is new.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like an arbitrary fact, Bajaya. I don't know.
Crookshanks is new. And Crookshanks is half cat. Half house cat, half Kneasel, which is a magical feline related to or similar to as a house cat. Highly intelligent and perceptive, recognizes others for what they truly are.
Oh boy.
Recognizes others for what they truly are.
Like a sneakoscope?
Yes.
I mean, kind of. Not that we talked about sneakoscopes or that they're ever relevant or anything like that, but that's fine.
Hobbies is chasing garden gnomes.
And doesn't Crookshanks have a real squished up face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those creepy cats that look into your soul. Like their eyes are closer to their nose, just like their eyes are closer to your soul.
Oof. So the other new person was Florian Fortescue, which has a very short write-up.
But a lot of good ice cream.
Very good ice cream. He owns a ice cream parlor in Diagon Alley and is the subject of a ghost plot, which is a narrative that never made it into the final books.
Oh, I thought you meant like a plot that had to do with ghosts, and I was like, ghosts and ice cream? This is a story I can get behind.
So Harry later, in later books, discovers that Florian was an descendant from an ex-headmaster of Hogwarts named Dexter Fortescue. So J.K. Rowling had originally planned Florian to be a conduit for clues to give Harry during his quest for the Hallows. That's why she made the acquaintance in this book and giving him, like, being like, oh, he knows a lot about wizarding history. So she wanted him to give Harry information about things like the Elder Wand or the Diadem or Ravenclaw, just being like, oh, the information has been passed down in the Fortescue family. And then that's why in the later book,
Isn't he killed in later book or whatever?
Yeah, she made him be, like, kidnapped and, because she intended him to be found and rescued and then tell Harry about, like, the Diadem or the Hallows or whatever.
That's super cool. That she had that foresight.
The problem was that when she... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we've talked about, like, about whether, you know, where she started really planning out the rest of the series. And I think that, like, one of the reasons this book is so great is because I think you can tell that she started really, like, thinking about the rest of the series in this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
And I think it's really cool that, like, if it was me writing, I would have been like, this is what I've thought about before. I'm going to keep writing this way. But she, like, the way she kept writing, like, because she talks about how she kept writing and then she realized that she decided that Phineas Black was a better way of conveying clues than Fortescue. So
she let the story dictate what was needed, which is great.
Yeah. Like the way she kept writing it changed and she didn't just say, oh, but this is how I planned it, this is how I'm gonna keep going. She changed the narrative according to how she ended up writing it. So that's how the story changed. And then the Diadem thing felt redundant because she was like, well, everything the reader needs to know, they could get by Harry interviewing the Grey Lady. And then she was like, oh, all in all, she made him be kidnapped and killed for no reason. Like, he's not the first wizard whom Voldemort murdered, because he knew too much, but he's the only one she feels guilty about because it was all her fault. Because his being kidnapped and dying was supposed to end up helping Harry, but ended up all being for naught.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I just like the fact that she, like, yeah, the fact that she let her writing change her goal and her means to that goal versus just being like, this is what I think, I'm going to keep going with it.
Right, I think as a writer that's important because I think that when people do plow ahead with those facts, it becomes really obvious and less organic, and it's cool that she let that let that go.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Why are Hermione's parents so trusting and leave her behind with people they've literally maybe only met once, briefly? I guess for us, they've only met once at Diagon Alley before they get into a fight. Like, Lucius and Arthur get into a fight. They're, like, kind of hanging out. They're talking. But, I mean, maybe they've met after that, but they're just, like... Because Hermione's like, yeah, my parents dropped me off here, and I'm here until we leave.
I bet they're really uncomfortable around wizards.
Yeah, and they don't really know anything. And I mean, I think that like their daughter is really smart, and not that that's an indication of family, but I think that, you know, that they probably could determine like she'll be okay. Like she's pretty astute in this, and like Michael said, like they probably can't get into Diagon Alley as far as we know. So
I think they can get in.
Can they?
Can't they? I thought they were there last year.
In. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe then maybe Muggle's right.
They were exchanging money from.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, they're probably just really uncomfortable, and they figure that wizards are probably the better people to help their daughter be the best student that she can be.
I mean, maybe it's just me being raised by South Asian parents, but my mom would have been like, "I don't care if I'm uncomfortable. You're not staying here." With these two teenage boys who are your friends.
Yeah, I mean.
Why are you only friends with boys?
I had friends who were boys, but at that age, I probably would not have been able to, like, sleep over with them or anything like that. Mm. That probably would have been.
I guess they're not, like, technically sleeping over, but they all have their own rooms.
Maybe boarding.
It's a little weird.
I don't know. Boarding school culture. My parents always, like, had to go in and meet the parents if I could stay for one night, which I totally get, like, now. I appreciate that. Yeah. But, yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah. My other question is, how do Ron and his family think Scabbers has been alive this whole time? Because they do think that he's a regular old garden rat.
Magic, Bajaya, magic.
But the witch even doesn't know how he's been alive. Like, she's like, oh, he's been alive for way longer than a regular garden rat should be. And Ron doesn't say that they've done any enchantments to keep him alive that long. Like, that Scabbers is, as a rat, not, like, as the other thing
right.
he is.
Right,
which
yeah.
Is, which explains why he's been alive for this long. Because, like, I had a beta fish that lived for, like, 4 years and not the regular, like, 2 years. But I think this rat has been, like, alive for way long.
Right. They don't even really seem to know. I don't know. Maybe it's just a Gryffindor thing in general where they're just like, well, I don't know, whatever. And they just
don't. I think maybe Molly Weasley has 7 kids and has like a billion other things to worry about.
Right.
Right. It's just not
the rat's always there.
It's not just Molly, though.
Right.
I'm talking about like all of, because.
Percy, I feel like Percy would be like, Mom, 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 this rat's really old, Mom. And she'd be like, yeah, Percy, whatever. Go to sleep.
Because I think brown rats, Wikipedia says brown rats live for 2 years max. And this rat has been alive for like 13 years.
I don't know. I just think that they probably attribute it to some sort of magic. Like, even if they know it's like regular rat, they're like, well, he's around magic, so maybe he's absorbed some of it. I don't know. I just feel like it's like an easy catch-all, like, for wizards. They're just kind of, they're willing to believe the unbelievable because that's what they're used to.
Dang, wizards.
Darn it, wizards.
Man. Question your life some days.
Yeah, no one picking up on that is
okay. Yeah, that's weird.
Interesting.
It's weird as heck. It's the Harry Potter 2 and 2 phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Gryffindors.
It's Gryffindors. You're right, Michael. You're really right. I think you got that.
Well, thank you, Bajaya. Those were really good questions and a great chapter.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Bajaya.
So we put a call out, and we were hoping that somebody would call in to talk about the whole Marge incident. And strangely enough, the phones are lighting up right now, and we're gonna take a caller. Let's see who called in to talk to us. I'm gonna try line number 4.
That's a good one.
Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, is this are we talking now on the radios?
Yeah.
Well, radio is kind of a loose term.
What's your name?
Hey, this is Clark Jenkins. I'm from down in Alabama, outside of Birmingham.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, Alabama, the deep south.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We wasn't one of the 13s, but, you know, we've been around.
And you were in Surrey?
Yeah, we come over because work had this thing where we had to guess the weight. They brought in this big old metal thing, and they're like, guess the weight of it, and you'll win a trip. And so I did it. I guessed it up because what you do, you put your hand on it, and my hand's exactly 12 inches, so I could tell. And then you do the math, and I knew how much it weighed. And that, here we are.
That's wow. Amazing.
Congratulations.
You're a very good guesser.
The metal thing. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I brought my sturdy wife, Sheila. She's the one that told me. She said, hey, I heard, because we saw that gal, and I heard that they was talking to call him up. So that's what I did.
Thank you. Your wife was there, too. That's nice. Nice little family vacation.
Yeah, it's a trip for two. We left my son Scott at home. Who knows what he's getting up to? We left him there at the dog. Who knows? He'll be all right.
I hope so. Oh, so can you tell us about what you saw?
Yeah, we was coming down. We was out near Buckingham Palace when they got them people. You can do whatever you want to them. They won't move. You shout at them, clap, and they're, what? And they don't. That's something I never seen. We was out there, and Sheila, my sturdy wife, she's like, hey, Clark, we're going up there. And there's this big old gal floating through the sky. And, you know, like I said, Sheila's sturdy, but this gal was solid. You know what I mean? Just floating around. And
so you saw her floating around?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did that freak you out
at all?
Well,
up until this point, the craziest thing about being over in England is they don't have any ice in any of their drinks. And I thought that was weird. And then I saw this. And, yeah, it sent me for a loop. But do y'all know anything about England's?
A little bit, a tiny bit.
They got Thanksgiving over here?
They actually don't. Not really, no.
Okay, because I thought it was like a Macy Thanksgiving Day parade. And then, again, Sheila was like, hey, don't, Macy's isn't here, and neither is Thanksgiving. And so then my other thought was like, you know how the government in America spies on you at night with the black helicopters with the chemtrails, and they're always there? Yeah. And sure. They put the fluoride in our water second to make sure that we could all vote. And
the vaccines.
Yeah. Well, the vaccines is fine. My son Scott got bit and he got the rabies. And so he got the vaccine. And so that fixed them. So those are good. But the fluoride's how they trick you to vote Democrat, which is what they were doing in Michigan. Anyway, maybe it's that. Maybe they got like fake parade floats. And that's how the government, because the queen's up to something. She always is.
I mean, she's old.
She looks like she's scheming.
Yeah. Are we sure that they don't have Thanksgiving, though? Because there's Thanksgiving in Canada.
They don't have Thanksgiving. They don't.
I mean, they have Boxing Day.
They have Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas. And they have so many bank holidays. Like, I think they all add up to one giant Thanksgiving. So maybe it's a bank holiday. I don't know. Did it seem?
Maybe they got floats for banks. That's a weird thing to have floats for, but who knows, right?
I don't know.
They drive on the wrong side of the road, you know? Maybe they have weird holidays with weird floats.
That's true. And, hey, you know, police, they call them Bob over here. Every policeman's name is Bob. It's an entry exam or something. They don't even carry guns. That's probably how they lost the Revolutionary War. Because, you know, hell, you come on down.
It was fist to rifle.
Scott got him a gun when he turned three. I bought him a 12-gauge, and he's done shot all sorts of stuff. So
he would have beat the British just by himself.
He would have. That's true. So that's true.
Did anybody else notice this?
Well, again, my sturdy wife Sheila, she saw him.
Oh, yep, Sheila.
And then
sorry.
One of those, none of them guards saw him because their eyes are forward. No matter what you do, they're not looking up. So. But I don't know how.
They probably thought you were.
That doesn't seem like
them.
A very good guard thing to do. Like, I mean, if you're not looking around.
Well, I mean, I guess threats don't come from the sky in England.
Maybe.
Now, I know we have you on to talk about this whole Marge incident, but I'm curious. Does your wife Sheila appreciate being called sturdy?
Oh yeah, she come from a farm upstate, and I mean they breed them strong up there. My in-laws, hell, I once saw Sheila. We had to move on account of we had a flood one time, and everything got, and we had to move. Damn, she moved the love seat all by herself. It's the damnest thing you ever saw.
That's a strong woman.
Yeah, and she's also smart in hell. She got her PhD from University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa in chemical engineering.
Roll
she's
tide.
Smart in hell, too.
Crimson.
Yeah, roll tide. Yeah, roll tide. Damn right.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Yeah, she's smarter in hell. And everybody's like, oh, you listen to how you sound. You can't be smart. Nah. She's smart in hell. She used to work up for NASA up there in hunting in Alabama is where they got the NASA Huntsville.
So if she worked for NASA, does she have any sort of like theories as to a flying object in the sky?
Well, yeah, she's the one that turned me on to them helicopters from the government. So that's why we both kind of think that's the queen spying on everybody.
That makes sense.
But the way she does it is she inflates humans so people are less suspicious.
Well, you mean inflates a human? That was a vinyl wrap float that got away. What you mean a human?
Okay, right. Yep. Sorry, my mistake.
That's true.
That's true. Definitely a vinyl,
Other than the iceless drinks and the vinyl float, mm-hmm, did you see anything strange, Willie? Like anything strange kind of in general while you're abroad? Maybe, I don't know. Did you see any weird like police reports of like some mysterious figures, anything like that?
Well, not particular. You know, we don't type too much. You know, when you think about England, you think about all a bunch of old white people. You got a lot of Indians over here. You can get some curry anywhere you go.
That is true.
That's something
that surprised me, too. I thought it'd all be, you know, kind of
stuffy white.
Yeah, you know, like Henry VIII looking guys. No one wears tights anymore either. That's another thing that they told me.
What about wigs?
I mean, they might have wigs, but the wig technology's come a long way. I mean,
that's true. That is very
so
true.
So you never know. Yeah.
Well, have you, I got a question though. Has anyone, you know, since it's, you're one of the few people that have noticed the vinyl surveillance devices in the sky from the Queen, have you been interrogated or questioned by anyone?
Well, they did take me aside.
In robes, pointy hats, anything like that?
Well, I did see this one fella and he wanted his drink and he's like, oh, this drink's too hot. And he didn't blow on it or anything. He kind of talked at it. And he drank it right up. And I don't know if he was doing like, you remember the mailman Karl Malone in the NBAs when he would talk of to course. The basketball? He'd say, hey, when he's doing the free throws, and he'd say, you're going to go in now. And he'd shoot him. It could have been that with his drink. I seen that. And then I saw a couple of fellas. It must be cape season or something over here. They got different fashions. There's a bunch of guys walking around in like black capes all around.
I do hear that is cape season this time of year. You know,
it's jean shorts season back home. So, you know,
they
either
coincide.
Or.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. I mean, I feel like we got to the bottom of this, right?
So the bottom of this is that the Queen is using vinyl bank holiday floats to spy on her citizens for some nefarious purpose that we're not sure of?
Well, it might be for like safety. Again, like at the warehouse, we got 35 cameras up, and every week we review it and make sure nobody's doing something crazy out there. We had this one old boy got his head chopped off on the forklift.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, no.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, because he was new and he was reaching to say, hey, I think it's in there, but his knee punched the thing and it came down. That's like a guillotine, so that's no good. So that's why we watch him. So maybe she's making sure that all these bobs that they got running around don't start shooting people.
Well, they don't have guns, so maybe that's why she's watching.
One, there might be a bad bob.
There's probably a bad bob in there.
One bad bob.
Statistically.
You know what they say about one bad bob? Spoils the whole bunch.
It's a naughty robber.
I made that joke.
They call him a naughty robber over here. It's real proper. So,
all right. Well,
Mr.
thanks,
Mr. Jenkins.
That was great.
Yeah, anytime.
Enjoy the rest of your time in the mother country.
Yeah, we're here for 2 weeks. So, I mean, if I see anything weird, I'll let you know. Just we got to figure out how to get these boys some ice, though. That's the main thing.
We'll work on that.
I hope you enjoy all the curries and go to the Stonehenge, and maybe you'll see some more weird stuff.
Yeah, that's a weird place. We'll talk to y'all later. Now y'all be good, all right?
Take care.
All right, thank you.
So is he traveling in time?
I don't know, but it was so wonderful.
That's really neat. You never know with magic.
Oh my god.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Vijaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at HerLadyTompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.